Please turn your Bible to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, and beginning from verse 32, let me read to you this portion of Scripture. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdue kingdoms without righteousness, by wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, women received their dead, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Another passage, please turn to Matthew chapter 19. The Gospel according to Matthew chapter 19, verse 29. Chapter 19, verse 29. And everyone that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive an hundredfold, and shall inherit everlasting life. I greet all of you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And you have your Bible turned to Hebrews chapter 11 there, and we have just read concerning something that sometimes bother us. As you read in that chapter, you'll find that there are two classes of people, or two, that God deals with His servants in two ways. One way is that you have a group of His servants in which God bless them or reward them with victories, with power. So wonderfully, you find that in the first part of that portion. Then suddenly, straight away, without any further introduction, you have another group of people who were equally faithful to the Lord. They were also the servants of God, but they faced persecutions. They being killed, they were killed for witnessing the Lord Jesus Christ, for witnessing our God, for preaching His word. And so sometimes we wonder, how is it both groups of people are faithful to God, and yet one is rewarded or compensated or blessed with good things, with power, whereas the other group suffers? We wonder. And then we also sometimes we think that we should not be like them. And in a broader picture, we look at the world, and we are Christians, and we expect God to bless us with health and wealth and riches. And then we look around, we see the wicked, the non-Christians, young unbelievers. They are even better than us. They prosper whatever they they do, they prosper. And then we wonder in our hearts, what is this? Where is our God? As we have just read in the book of Psalms. Even the psalmist also say. And then we feel despondent. And then in our own lives we face troubles and tribulations. And for what? And we are despondent. And then the psalmist says, don't be despondent. Hope in God. The God will bless you eventually. But this is the question we always ask. This problem in us. Also, we read in the Word of God, if you read in the Scripture, that if we are faithful to Him and obedient to Him, He will bless us. And when we are disobedient, He will punish us. And sometimes we look around, even those who are disobedient to Him, and they have been blessed. And those who are obedient to Him are not been rewarded in the way or in the manner in which we want it to be. So how can we wrestle with it? What is the problem? This is the problem. So okay, how can we wrestle with it? How can we understand this? Well, some of us may not want to understand this and just say, well, carry on, I don't understand, so I just carry on with life as I think the best way to do it. And I will work hard and hard and then to accumulate all my wealth and then just after that trust the Lord. Just simply say, I just trust the Lord. And then that's what many of us will do. Try very hard to gain some position and some amass some wealth, riches here on this earth, and then maybe towards the later part of our years just to enjoy the fruits of our labor. By that time you might not have enough strength and even teeth to enjoy some of the good things. What is it? I think there is a problem here. There is something that we have to learn from God's word. Is that how God deals with us? So I have turned to Hebrews chapter 11 and have seen these two very contrary or contrasting situations in which God deals with His people. On the one hand, those He sovereignly, providentially bless them and reward them marvelously, wonderfully. And on the other hand, there's a darker picture. People who are equally faithful to God and they go through a lot of sufferings, even death. If you ask me, if I ask you, all of us would pray, God, we want to be like the first group of people. Please make us to be like that. And then for the second group, we put our hands this way. Please, Lord, don't do this to us. Please, please. And all right, let's see what God's word say. What is God's idea for us to be here on this earth? Is living on this earth the end all of everything? Our life is only here. It's 3 score and 10 plus 10, and that's it. And after that, there's no more. Is life on this earth is what God wants us to live? And this is something we have to look into. What is it all about? So let us look and see whether we can learn some of this precious truth. The first one is that that God rewards all His servants, all, every one of His servants. God rewards them marvelously, wonderfully, very good things accordingly. Now we turn if you turn to Isaiah 40:10, let me read to you. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and His arm shall rule for Him. Behold, His reward is with Him, and His work before Him. So here God has already proclaimed in His word that He will reward His servants in the kingdom to come. In his coming kingdom, God will, W-I-L-L, definitely, certainly, will reward his servants accordingly. So let's have this truth in our hearts and in our mind. Remember this. God will. This is also true. It's given to us in Revelation chapter 22, verse 12. Behold, and behold, I come quickly, here says the Lord Jesus Christ. I come quickly, not slowly or delay. I come quickly. So in the hearts of the Lord Jesus Christ, he wants to come now. But he cannot. He has to wait for the Father. Only the Father knows the time when he will tell the Lord Jesus Christ, now is the time, and the Lord Jesus Christ will come back. Yes, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work should be. To us as Christians here, since that book is written to Christians, here the Lord Jesus Christ is mentioning that he will bring his reward when he comes, and he will reward every man, every Christian without exception, according to his work shall be, according to what you have done, what you and I or we have done here on this earth with him. So we understand here first, the first truth, that God will reward you. If you are a Christian, God will reward you, will reward me in future, in the coming kingdom. Don't say that you don't have a reward. No, God is going to bring the reward for you. Alright, for the first, we are not talking about everlasting life. Of course, the Lord Jesus Christ mentioned in Matthew chapter 19, there he said, those of us who have sacrificed a lot for his name's sake, he will bless you 100-fold, even and inherit eternal life. So that is wonderful enough to have be given eternal life. But on top of that, he's going to bless you, to reward you. Now, what are the rewards? It's not stated to us very clearly. Only God knows. And I don't think the rewards are poor rewards. They are very, I believe in my heart, they'll be very good. Very, very good indeed. Because you see this world, how he created this world, how you love this world. The physical world, you love it so much. And God will reward us accordingly, beyond our imagination and expectation. This is something, this truth should always encourage us and make us happy. Yes, the scripture's word just now we have just quoted is plain and clear. Even the Lord Jesus Christ in his teachings, and then when he tells a parable to the people regarding service and reward, he makes sure in that parable the Lord, the master of that house, would always reward his servants, all his faithful servants. And those who have served him faithfully, he will reward him even more. That's wonderful. And precisely that is what God will do. One day all of us Christians will stand before Christ at the judgment seat of Christ. And there is where we also will receive our just rewards according to what we have done. And the way it's not described to us precisely exactly what the rewards are, but we used to hear the Apostle Paul use symbols. Some will be rewarded gold, or brass, or bronze, and some with wood, hay, and stubble. But in the end, when it's tested by fire, then those who have been rewarded because of your works, wood, hay, and stubble, will be burned off. But your life, your eternal life, is intact. And then you'll be. Those rewards that God give you and me will last forever and ever and ever. It's an everlasting reward. And so Jim Elliot, one of the five missionaries, he together with four friends who went to the South America to the outcasts in Amazon. And he himself said that it is no loss to exchange what we cannot keep in this world, what we have, what we cannot keep in this world, in exchange for something that we can have, which will last forever and ever. And mind you, Jim Elliot, he gave his life together with four friends to reach out to the outcasts in Amazon in South America with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And one day in the heat of that climate, all of them were washing themselves and cooling themselves in the river, and then hiding behind the jungles. They could sense that they were being watched. They were all speared to death. Men, Jim Elliot, men who gave their lives, who loved the Lord, and who loved the outcasts to bring the gospel to them, prematurely have their life taken away from them. In a very violent way, each of them were speared to death. The spears came out of the jungle and finds its spot in the bodies of these people. Will they have their reward? As I said, here God will say, God will reward them in the coming kingdom. Of course, now they are with the Lord. So wonderful. Now they are present with the Lord. And that's wonderful. I think they were present there. And God says that we'll reward you. I think they will say, there's no need, Lord. There's no need. We are here. So wonderful to be with you and living eternally. And what will God say? No, I will reward you. On that day, I will reward you. So let us be clear first that in the coming kingdom, which you and I are heading for, you have the passport to go to that kingdom, and that passport is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. God, I say it again, and I want to say it, emphasize this, that God will reward us. And the reward is going to be marvelous and wonderful. How wonderful this truth is. Now we come back to earth. Now while we are living here on this earth, we find that God, the way God relates with us and deals with us is differently. You see, God rewards some and bless some, and then others God have allowed them to be tortured, persecuted, killed. This is the truth. Now, this is another truth that God has revealed to us. Is it not true? Very true. For example, let's take some of the people in the Old Testament. God blessed Abraham and Lot with riches. In Genesis chapter 13 verse 5, it says, and Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so they could not dwell together. So Abraham and Lot were blessed with riches. They were the faithful ones, and God blessed them. So God also blessed Isaac, and Isaac sowed in that land and received in that same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. So was Job. And Job was a righteous man, and God has blessed him with children, with servants, with many things. And because of his faith, and God tested him and allowed Satan to take everything away from him except his life. And how Job suffered with sores all over his body. But after that, God deals wonderfully with him. And after that, God blessed him double. Of course, he has one wife, he has another wife, he married again, he had children. And then with everything that he has lost, God gave it back to him. Now God sometimes deals with his people in this manner. But there are also those in the Old Testament while we are on this earth, God deals differently. Something that we fear. And who are these people? Or who were they? Isaiah is one of them, the prophet of God. Jeremiah was one of them. And how they suffered. For example, Jeremiah suffered terribly. And he was put in prison and lowered down into the dungeon and then into the miry substance there. Until Nebuchadnezzar came and rescued him. The apostles Peter, James, and John, and Paul, all of them met their death. When they were on earth preaching, they were not endowed or blessed, rewarded with riches and wealth. Or riches, or health and wealth. They suffered. Even Paul himself suffered. His eyes were weak during his last days. And so were Peter. And all of them were martyred, were crucified. But at the same time, there were also Christians in those days in the New Testament who were rich. Christians that God had blessed them. Philemon is one of them. God blessed him. Blessed him. And then Gaius in 3 John, you find that he also was a rich man. Cornelius, who became a Christian. A Roman centurion, he also was a rich man. So was also Joseph of Arimathea. Ordinary Christians, and God blessed them. And whereas the apostles were servants of God, who served him faithfully, suffered much. How? So don't tell me that, okay, in that case I better be just ordinary Christians and then God will bless me and then I better don't be a pastor, I better don't give my life, I don't be a missionary because in that case God is going to test me and I'm going to be suffering. And then one day, who knows, a fellow will come out with a gun and say, Jesus Christ or money? Then we say, okay, how, whatever do I do? What do I have to do? You cannot, please don't think that way. Please don't think that way. You know, in the first 300 years of church history, many, many Christians, ordinary Christians, suffered because they say Jesus Christ is Lord and they will only worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They will only worship Jesus Christ who is Lord. Many of them have suffered for 300 years. The Christians in those days suffered much in the then known world. Ordinary Christians. So God in his sovereign will, in his wisdom, have allowed this. Of course, those who kill them because of the Lord Jesus Christ are the enemies of God. And the chief enemy, of course, is Satan. And Satan have all his agents on this earth who will always persecute and kill Christians. So, you better don't say that I better be ordinary Christians. Whether God is going to bless you here on this earth, going to reward you on this earth, is up to his sovereign will. And there's always for a purpose. It's always for a purpose. Now I want you to turn to one particular passage in scripture and then we can see that purpose. And at 1 Chronicles chapter 29. Turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 29. Beginning from verse 10. And let me read to you, and then here we can see. If God has blessed and rewarded people with riches here on this earth, what do we do? How do we? We praise God and thank him only. Verse 10, wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, here is King David, and God has rewarded him marvelously. He says this, "Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine." David acknowledged that everything on this earth belongs to God. All the cattle on the thousand hill belongs to God. "Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all." It's acknowledgement of who God is. And that's all we all should. This is the living and true God. He owns the whole earth. Your companies, whatever it is, your own company or you work with another company, all belong to God. Everything belongs to God. All right. Now, verse 12, "Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thy hand is power and might, and in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all." So the Lord God, accordingly, in his own providence, in his own wisdom, will honor and bless you accordingly, according to his wisdom. He says here, David's here, power and might, and whether to make great and to give strength to all. "Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I," now says David, "and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thy own have we given thee." Look at verse 15 again. For we are strangers before thee, and sojourners, as were all our fathers, and our days on this earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. So verses 14 and 15 here. Now David was so clear. Yes, God has blessed him and all his people, the people of Israel. And then he says here, that all these are yours. And what we are giving to you here is because of what you have given to us. And then on top of that, we are not going to live on this earth forever. No, we are only sojourners. We are strangers here. In other words, David was looking ahead to the coming kingdom. He's looking ahead to be with God forever. In other words, he understood that when he was on earth, it was only temporary. This is the truth. This is something that you and I have to learn inside, in our mind, our heart. Our whole being must be there. In other words, here on this earth, we live. Only on this earth to do his will, to do God's will. We are looking for the new heaven and the new kingdom. We are looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we will live forever and ever with him, that is the real life. That is the real kingdom. That is the real heaven. And while you're on this earth, God has a plan and purpose. And he will bless some. And this blessing, he has blessed David and his people. For what? To use those blessings to advance God's kingdom. In this particular case, was the building of the temple. In those days, the physical temple. In the today's context, the temple is the church of God. The temple is this church. Every church that faithfully proclaims the name of Christ is the body of Christ. That's the temple. And if God has blessed his people and reward them with riches and wealth, that's what David. David only said, give part of it to support that church, to support that temple, the body of Christ, so that God's name, God can be worshipped and the gospel preached. And why give so willingly? Because this belongs to God. He gives us. Okay, David used some for his use. Because we are not going to live here forever. Oh Lord God, verse 16, he says, "All this store that we have prepared to build thee and house for thy holy name cometh of thy own hand, is all thine own." David never said that it's mine. "I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart and hast pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of my heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now I have seen with joy thy people which are present here to offer willingly unto thee." You see this truth? And for those who have suffered, and God gave you the strength, God has said through Paul that He will not test you above what you can take. And you are tempted or tested for your faith. God said He will not test you beyond what you can take. And on top of that, He's with you all the time. And I believe that 300 years of church history, where many of them were being killed because of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, at that very moment when they were tested, I believe with all my heart that God is with them. That moment God gave them the strength, the courage to say, I will continue to worship the Lord. Some, their head is chopped off. I believe. That instant, they are with the Lord. This truth, you and I must know. Not only know, you must believe it. You must. Otherwise, your life and my life on this earth is just nothing. If you think you are going to live in this earth, how long can you live? How long? 70. 6, 3, 3 score and 10 plus 10. Beyond that, every year is a bonus year. We must be looking forward to the coming, the kingdom to come, Christ coming. And that's where our real life will be. So let us remember this. God will reward His people. Every one of them, God will reward. Alright? So don't worry, if you amass everything here, you cannot keep it, you know, you cannot. As Jim Elliot said, you cannot. You better use it to exchange for something that you can keep, can get. God will reward you forever and ever. You can keep it forever and ever. So this truth we must remember. And then on this earth, if God so rewards us in things, bless us with wonderful things, then we must know what to use, how to use this, how to handle it. And if God sees fit that we suffer for His sake, accept it and thank God too. Because God is using you to encourage others, to bring about. In fact, when the Lord Jesus Christ hung on the cross, there was a thief who was converted. Even the Roman soldiers truly say, this is the Son of God. And when Paul was imprisoned in Rome, and you have the Roman guards too, they were converted to see the suffering of Paul, and that he could overcome it. Why? There is a secret power in their lives. So in both ways, especially those who are suffering, don't be despondent. God is using you, using us for His glory. And you will be rewarded in the kingdom to come. So let us order our lives accordingly. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We pray, Father, for this just this wonderful truth that you will reward us. And while you are on this earth, you may reward us differently. Father, help us to accept them. Give us the wisdom to use the rewards, the blessings that you have bestowed on each one of us. And we may use this for the advancement of your kingdom. Yeah, for your glory, for your honor. And for those of us, Lord, who do suffer on this earth for your sake, we know, Father, that you will reward us find ultimately, and we thank you. And all this, Father, we pray, we ask, giving you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us now prepare our hearts for the Lord's Supper. I would like to read a portion of scripture before we partake of this bread and this cup. And that is taken from John chapter 14, a very familiar passage. John chapter 14, And let me read to you from verse 1 to verse 4. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, says the Lord Jesus Christ. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way, you know. And may the Lord bless this reading of his word. And then as we partake of this bread and this cup, remembrance of our Lord Jesus Christ, may we remember these words that he spoke of, that he is going away and he will be coming back to take us to be with him. So now we invite all born again and baptized Christians to partake of this bread and this cup. So before we do it, let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you once again for the Lord Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son, who died for us on the cross and who rose from the dead on the third day and is coming again. We thank you, Father, to take us all to be with him. We pray, Father, that our love for you will increase, our faith in you also will increase. And as we partake of this, whatever sin that we still keep in our hearts, Father, give us that courage, that grace to repent. And knowing, Father, that you're, when we confess our sin, you're just and righteous to forgive us of our sins. We thank you, Father, for this wonderful grace. And so bless everyone. Hear your children. This we pray, we ask, giving thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.